Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning in to our boardroom chat once again. Lord, the Lord is so good. I forgot to give everybody a little update about our Australian tour here on our boardroom chat. It was phenomenal.
I don't think you forgot. I think this is our first chat since we returned.
Is this our first
one?
Because I've been preaching so much. Lord Jesus. Anyway, we flew over the big pond, like they say, and had one of the most marvelous times. And we actually started out in Whittier, California, where Kathy preached on a Friday night and a Saturday morning, then flew over to Honolulu and got some jet fuel, and we took across that pond, and we flew
over
the
Pacific Ocean.
Flew over an island called Pentecost. Yeah. I said, look at that, boy. And then we did a little research on it and found out that it was owned by the French. And I thought, boy, God sent somebody down there to preach the Holy Ghost. What a blessing. That's why it was called Pentecost.
I think they found it on the day of Pentecost. That's one of the reasons they called it that.
Yeah, well, it's good.
But they were aware of the Pentecostal message.
Oh, yes, indeed. And then we flew into Brisbane, and we preached twice that day, and then flew over to Canberra, and that's, I believe, the capital where they do all the, like our Congress, like Washington,
right.
D.C. stuff. Mm-hmm. Then we flew over to Melbourne, then we crossed the whole continent of Australia down to Perth, preached there, then turned around, flew all the way back to Sydney, and preached there, and then crossed the big ocean,
the pond,
and hallelujah, stopped in Honolulu because the pilots were just flat wore
out. And to get fuel, we had to get home.
And get fuel, and then flew again across the Pacific Ocean, across the continent of America, and then finally made it to New Orleans. People were saved, healed, touched, blessed. It was wonderful.
We showed a lot of photos on social media. Yeah. Maybe you got to look at that. We're just thankful for all that God did in Australia. Well, we love all the people we've met. Of course, a lot of them were old friends, and we love the power of God. People are so hungry for the presence of God.
Amen.
So thankful for everybody that came out, everybody that supported it, all the offerings that came in.
Oh, it was amazing. It was a very expensive tour, but our wonderful partners and friends all over the world helped us do that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, with the price of oil, you know, the price of barrel of oil was a lot higher, so we had to spend a lot more money on fuel. But that was all right. The Lord just took care of it, lock, stock, and
barrel. We don't ever go in expecting anything from the people. We go to bring the message and,
amen,
of course, to give the people an opportunity to sow seed. And we're believing for them to have a 100-fold harvest on the seeds they did sow while we were there. But God took care of everything,
yes,
like He always
does.
I
had some people say, maybe you ought to cancel this until they get this or the price of oil down a little bit. And I remember telling them, what's the price of a soul? Don't make no difference how much it costs to go. You have to do that.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Okay.
That's why I led into that situation. It's the greatest miracle God ever created, including the universe. And He flung the stars with His hands. And my God, man, the Bible said the stars sung and all kinds. I mean, those are phenomenal. Well, the mind cannot grasp the power of God in creation. But He did something that was even greater than that. So if you got your Bibles or iPads, would you go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16?
I saw that was your ad. There we are.
And there was a question. These two guys were put in jail, beat up pretty bad. And I mean, you would think they would, most people would be in their jail going, I don't know why God let this happen to me, but not these guys.
Uh-uh.
These guys could sing songs in the night. It was amazing. It was powerful. When the jailer saw it and heard it, he was shook to his shoes. And I want to go to Acts chapter 16. And I want to start reading with verse 28. But Paul cried
verse? I can't hear you.
Verse 28.
28, okay.
But Paul cried with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And the reason why he's saying that, man, I mean, God was shaking the place. Earthquake,
start
things.
Start with verse 25.
Verse 25?
Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead there.
That's hallelujah. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open. Everyone's bands were loose. Oh, when God clean house, He clean house. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved?
Wow.
Great, great question.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get this?
Mm-hmm.
Now watch this. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Of course, they got baptized. Why does religion make it so hard to get born again? It's the greatest miracle ever. It's the greatest grace ever given to anything to simply accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But a lot of time, the church world puts all kinds of rules, regulations, and everything you can think of to sometimes hinder that.
Mm-hmm.
When I got born again in a bathroom in Boston, Massachusetts, I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know to believe with my heart or confess with my mouth. And I just heard Billy Graham because Kathy asked me to watch it. And so I prayed this. Whatever my salvation prayer was this. Whatever Billy said, bam, I got born again. And it's been so wonderful. And so it's the greatest miracle. Yet when I do give an altar call or when I'm praying for people, I make it so simple.
Yeah.
That you cannot misunderstand this. The rules and regulations, all that stuff, you know, I just tell them, believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's the easiest thing in the world to believe. And if you have a struggle with that, spiritually, physically, or financially, watch your children. Your children will teach you how to believe. Children are born believers until you teach them to doubt. Think about that. When you tell them something, they go, oh, okay, Mom, okay, Dad, and they just believe it.
Mm-hmm.
With no physical evidence to the fact that you're going to do what you said. But because they believe, they receive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm going to talk about today is when you got born again, you know, you wasn't in a church neither. You were in a hotel in Minneapolis, Minnesota, a place called Mendota Heights. And there, and I was playing rock music for the Minnesota Vikings,
mm-hmm.
1972, I think it was.
Three.
It was 73, the Purple Gang, it was called. And of course, I was a sinner. And Kathy was raised Catholic, but she had an encounter with God. Tell us about your salvation.
Well, you know, I was watching television. I was rocking Jody to sleep. I remember that. And we were in the little hotel room, and we didn't have remote controls. So
right.
After the TV program I was watching, just for a little noise in the room, I didn't have a rocker, of course. I was rocking her like that, just on the side of the bed. She was a year and a half old. And I remember the program went off, and then Billy Graham came on. So I just sat there watching it because she still wasn't quite asleep. And I wasn't planning to listen to the gospel.
Right.
I hadn't expected that. I was indifferent to the gospel.
Right.
I didn't think of it one way or the other. And so I remember hearing the message and really it piercing my heart. And I remember deciding to pray that prayer when he gave the altar call. And I repeated the prayer after him. And something supernatural happened that I can't even explain, but it's like stadium lights went on and my life was totally changed. I just began to weep. God himself came into my life, into
is
my
that,
heart.
Is that what you meant by piercing your heart?
Well, yeah, it's the only way I could, I say heart, it's not my physical
yeah,
heart,
right.
But my inward, my spirit, who I am, became born again. I became a new creation in Jesus. I learned about it later. I didn't even understand. I remember sitting there just weeping on the end of the bed, and then all of a sudden you came to the hotel room that night. You said when you put your hand on the doorknob.
Oh, I knew something was wrong. I said something.
All right.
All right. I didn't know what, man.
Wrong for you,
and,
but right.
Yeah. And I opened that door, and there she was. And I said, what are you doing? And she said, I just listened to Billy Graham. I told her, I said, you don't want to listen to Billy.
I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ.
And you were saved.
And I was born again.
It was so simple.
In a second.
And yeah. So profound.
Totally.
And yet so deep. It went down. When I got born again, the Lord, I was such a sinner. And I like what he told me. He said, you let the purity of the gospel go as far as the pollution of sin.
Mm.
It went all the way down inside of me and cut out the sin nature.
Right.
And grace was applied and I received Christ. That can happen to you today. This is not about religion. Religion is a garden of weeds. It's a theological wilderness. More people have died in the name of religion than anything else. But when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, some people say, what makes you think he's the Son of God? Well, first thing first, the miracles. We know he did phenomenal miracles. No one could do that. But number two, if he wasn't what he said he was, he sure has disturbed the world even till today. I mean, they still talk about Jesus Christ and what he did and his lifestyle and rose from the dead. And it was most amazing. He was the Son of the living God. Now, some people don't believe that. That's okay. You can do what you want to do.
This is why we preach the gospel, because we want everybody to understand it and believe it and be born again.
Only God could change me, because I didn't want to change. I mean, I just did what I wanted to do. I didn't care who it hurt. You could say I was very selfish. I was. And I had my career on my mind. It didn't make no difference. What happened? I was going to do this musical career, whatever it take to get it done. But when I got born again, and if you don't like the way you was born, try it again. It's better the second time around. It really is.
Amen.
But this is not churchy. It's not churchy stuff. What it is a divine experience, an explosion of revelation knowledge coming into your innermost being. And all of a sudden, the scales of your eyes fall off. And you see life for what it should be. And you see life what it was. I never saw sin in my life. I never thought of sin. I just did what I want. But when I got born again, the scales were taken off. And I thought, my God, what am I doing? Why am I living this way? Why did I think it was so much fun? And yet I was instantly completely delivered. It was kind of like, diving in a swimming pool, going as deep as you can, you know, you feel the pressure of the water. And then when you come out, you know, and you're just about ready to run out of air, you know, man, and you pull into the top. When you come out the water, you go, and it just, and that oxygen just completely saturates your body. And that's about the best way I could explain it. I mean, I breathe life. God breathed life into my spirit. And it was one of the most wonderful things.
And it was an instant transformation.
Instantly.
And it's nothing you did yourself.
Yeah, get me one of them Kleenexes here. Where's the light? I just got off that treadmill, man, and it pushes everything out. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mom. And to make a long story short, a new beginning, a revelation, an exposing of God's nature to me. That's what happened to you.
Right.
And our marriage changed right there.
Right.
Everything changed.
It changed before then.
How's that?
But when I got born again. Because before then, everybody was telling me, I need to leave you.
Leave you.
Leave that trash.
She said, leave. And I told her, and I was terrible. Take off, baby.
It was not beautiful.
I said, I'll have another woman walking through that door.
The moment.
Just like that. And that's terrible. That was mean. See, that was selfish. See, but when you have your father, Satan, the devil, you know, and you don't know what you have till you lose it. And we were about ready to lose it. But God saved Kathy first and gave her a tenacity to believe for me. Because took tenacity to do it.
You're my first faith project when I really didn't understand what faith was really all about. But the principle was the same. And so I remember when I got born again, all of a sudden, things changed in my life. I had hope that my life could change because I had Jesus. And I don't know, I was a new believer. I'd never read the Bible. I'd heard parts of the Bible spoken about because I grew up Catholic. They would read portions of it in the Mass. But I never really picked up the Bible or read it for myself.
Did you read the Bible in that hotel? Was there a Gideon Bible in that?
Not until after I got born again.
Yeah, you got born again that
afterwards,
night.
Afterwards, I started reading it, of course, because I remember thinking that, I didn't have any hope. But once I knew Jesus, I started praying. I remember I wrote to Billy Graham. They sent me a book and the scripture about how to win your husbands to Christ. I must have poured out something in a letter to somebody. I don't even remember that part. But I know I can identify with the letters that we get in the mail, that we get from people that are desperate, that don't know the answer, but maybe they trust us to give them the answer or to pray with them. So I did that same thing to Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I wrote to them. They sent me I didn't have any money because you held the money. I didn't have money to send to them, but they sent me this little booklet, and I remember reading we
were partners with him. We became partners.
Of course, at some point.
Amen.
But the thing is that I had the understanding as a new believer that what you were doing was just because you didn't know Jesus. So it helped me
that
to pray.
That was a revelation right there.
Really, the things that you were doing were all a result of not knowing Jesus, and once you knew Jesus, all of that would change, and that's how I prayed.
Right.
And I remember that's exactly what happened.
I'll tell you what, it was an amazing thing in our household. And even Jody picked it up at 3 years old when I got born again. And she was a year and a half. And when you were rocking her and you getting born again.
Yeah, because at that point I started reading the Bible, but then I started finding little children's books about the Bible to read to Jody. And I chose, when it was time to read to her, I would choose books about the Bible, about creation, different stories.
Amen.
I remember the Joes, a little beautiful, colorful books
that
I was able to find. I learned the Bible with her.
You know, I'm glad I did not fight you on that. And in other words, some men fight their wives because they go to church. I never did do that. I thought if you want, that's what you want, that's okay with me. It's just that it wasn't for me. That's
right.
What I thought about. I said, if that's what she wants to do, you know, that's fine. You know what I mean? I mean, she got religion is what I thought, you know, that kind of stuff. And, but it was one of the most amazing things. What I now know, but I didn't know, I would try to combat that. I would try to go against it sometimes when she started talking to me about God, but I couldn't win. It was like I'd hit a brick wall and bounce back, Not in a bad way. I just thought, man, this girl really believes this stuff. Well, that was the revelation. She believed on the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's so true.
And I remember one time.
So what does saved mean? What does that mean when people hear the word saved? I didn't understand the word saved. And even though I heard Billy Graham say that, I didn't understand what it meant. So I called your parents, I remember that night.
Yeah, mom and dad.
And they were so happy because they'd been praying for me, which I didn't realize at the time, but they're also praying for their son. And they explained to me that being you just believe it by faith. And even then, I didn't understand what that meant.
Yeah.
But I just had to accept it. The fact that I prayed it and I'm born again, I'm saved, means I'm free from sin. I have a new relationship with God. You know, I didn't even think of myself as a sinner. And you
That's
didn't
a great
either.
Revelation. You just said, free from sin.
Really?
Ooh, whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Right.
I mean, all of a sudden, the stuff we used to want to do, we didn't do no more.
Right. But even if I was you said, Kathy, you're a good person. What do you have to give up?
I would say that.
What are you going to
say? Well, I thought that was works. You know, I always heard that, you know, if you want to get God's attention, just do some good works. You know,
but
whatever.
Then I had I don't know, God helped me. I had the grace of God in my life. I really understand that the fact was not what I did. I was going to hell because of my rejection of Jesus. I didn't consciously think I was rejecting him, but if you're not living for him, you're really rejecting him.
That's correct.
So I had a total life turnaround and understanding of what salvation really meant, and it changed my life from the core. And it changed my perspective on my life and realized that my marriage, even though in the circumstances where you look at it from the outside, looked like it was in the toilet.
Was it that bad?
Oh, yeah. And so I was the only one
married.
Well,
she's truthful, isn't she?
I say it lately. I don't like saying it, but it was true. You were an immoral man.
Oh, yes, I was.
And so I just remember I had answers then. I said, Lord, And so I just started praying. But like I say, I put you in the crosshairs. You were the focus of my prayer. You were my motivation.
Because
I cared for your soul. I still loved you, even though I didn't love the things you did. Just like God loves us. He may not love the things we do, but he loves us and cares enough about us. In fact, I just by sense by the Spirit of God, you just need to know that Jesus himself is praying for you. He is our intercessor. Now, I often thought, nobody ever prayed for my soul. Once I got born again, I realized that Jesse's mom was praying for me. But then I got the reality that Jesus, he was praying for me. He prays for everyone.
Yeah.
In John chapter 17, that was the prayer he prayed before going to the cross. He says, not only do I pray for these here, meaning his disciples, but for all of those that will hear through their witness.
Yeah.
And down through the generations,
yeah.
I'm one of those that have heard. You're one of those that are hearing now. Jesus prayed for you, and also we have prayed for you. And not just for you, but for your loved ones and the things that you're concerned about. So it's wonderful to know the changes that the new birth can bring, being saved can bring. You're no longer subject to the way the world looks at things,
right,
and being able to do things in the natural on your own. You have heaven working together with you, to tackle that situation, that problem that you're confronting.
So, let me show you how blind I was. I never thought of myself as an immoral man. I thought of myself as a good person, but I just did whatever I wanted to do because I had no conscience of sin. You see, and I was in the rock world, and that rock world, and not make an excuse of it, that is wine, women, and song, and just anything you want to do. And the world would praise that. They call you like a rock god, you know, if you had any kind of notoriety or something like that.
You should have known better. Your parents did teach you, but you rejected it.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't want it. You didn't allow it to.
Because it didn't make no sense to me. I was not born again. So I thought, I'd look at myself, and I mean, I'd do whatever I wanted to do. I could hurt you as easy as love you. I mean, I could flip just that quick. And that was immoral. But I never thought, I mean, as far as I was concerned about Kathy was my wife, you know what I'm saying? And that's the end of that. You know, I stood before a priest and said, till death do us part. That kind of stuff. But that didn't stop me. And that came close, you know. But that didn't stop me from doing anything I wanted to do because it was part of the job in my dumb, crazy mind, see? But that's how blinding sin is. Even you might be a person that's, you do good works, but if you don't know the Lord, it's so blinding that you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so this change can come into your life. And it's not religion. I go back to what I just said. It is an explosion of revelation, knowledge of how much God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that means, you see. That's what I wanted to talk about today. Now, that's why we preach so much. That's why we haven't retired. You know, I'm going to be 77 very soon, and Kathy's going to be 77 very soon, and things of that
nature. I'm much younger than you.
Yeah, she'll be 74. You know, that's not, she don't look it. But anyway, to make a long story short, we think, what will we retire to? This is a calling, not a career, not a job. So we go forth, and we do everything. All the finances that you send, 100% of it goes into world evangelism so that you and these people that here can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so they can be saved.
Amen.
And listen, partners, thank you from the bottom of me and Kathy's heart of how much you do for this ministry. Your faithful financial support is so vitally important. I wish it was all free. You know, I wish it was free to go to Australia, but it's not. Whether you're flying a jet, a private jet, or where you're flying commercial. It costs a lot of money to go down there. But that's okay, because what's the value of a soul? So partners I mean this sincerely. I think that's why you're partnering with it, because you trust us. And we never touch it. Even the IRS said this about me, and that man never touches that money. It's not my money. It's yours. And you give it for the work of the Lord. And if you're not a partner, I'd pray you become one. So we can touch another person like Paul and Silas did, and tell them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and they'd be saved. If you'd like to be a partner, I hope you do. Go to jdm.org and you can hit the donate button. Nothing too small, nothing too big. If you don't want to, that's fine. You don't need to. Still watch the programs, all that kind of stuff. But I appreciate your prayers and your faithful financial support so we can touch more people for Jesus. You can use PayPal if you like. You can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one. And I believe that's in America only. Am I correct in that? If you're on the app. Okay. You can go to our JDM app and select the giving.
You can do recurring on the JDM website.
On the website, whatever. They do all that stuff. Or you can mail in, a check to our ministry using the post office. 100%, you heard me say it, goes into world evangelism. We've been debt-free since 1982. I am so glad to say that none of the monies people's ever sent us, we had to take portions of interest to pay a note. 100%. If you sent $20, the whole $20 went into world evangelism.
Amen.
I believe that's worthy of your support. And I thank all those that have supported us and continue supporting us. And God has been good. And I'm going to say this, not in an arrogant way. We don't have no financial trouble like a lot of ministries have been. No. And even when the economy goes up or goes down, we just keep going because we have this statement: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe and thou shalt be saved. And your household. See, and that's what changed us. And that's what keeps us. Now, we got a few testimonies, and I'd like you to read a few before we go off. Because these people are watching because of your faithful financial support. We're able to do these things.
Right.
So listen to some of this. Go ahead, Kathy.
Robert says, humbled and blessed to be connected from Kenya. Yeah, Heather says, thanks for coming to Australia. Your presence helped so much.
Isn't that a blessing?
That blesses me. And Elizabeth says, this is the first time in 30 years that I listened to you guys. Last time was in the Believers Convention back in Los Angeles, back in the 90s, I guess.
That's the West Coast Believers Convention.
Yeah, must have been the West Coast because of the Believers Convention.
30 years.
In the 90s with my family who joined from Norway. And I'm a mama with 5 children now. It was a blast seeing you and listening to you guys again. David says, keep up the great work, Kathy and Jesse. Both of you are wonderful and have an awesome blessing to the whole world. Thank you for your prayers here in New Zealand.
Praise the Lord.
Janet says, I'm your newest JDM partner watching from California.
Thank you. What's her name, Janet?
Janet. Welcome, Janet.
Thank you, girl, to the team. For doing that. What a blessing.
Yeah. Cindy says, I just love watching you minister through the boardroom chats, Faith the Facts, and sermons. I even watch when you preach at other churches. This year's theme, Use Your Faith Voice, is just what I needed. I'm a partner of JDN, and I'm so blessed to hear your teachings in addition to what my pastor teaches. Thank you, and God bless all of you at JDM.
Isn't that a blessing of God?
Suzanne says, you two make me laugh. You are so transparent. It's wonderful to see agreement on the word. We are JDM partners.
I tell you, it's amazing.
A lot of great partners that watch, as well as new people. Heidi says, I listen and watch on YouTube every day and replay your messages over and over.
Thank you for doing that. I tell you what, we preach this word of God. We're not trying to be big shots. We're not trying to be, known. What we want to do is make you known, make you understand that you can accept Christ anywhere, anytime, any place. I don't care how bad you are. You may be in a prison watching this. You may have killed people. I don't know, whatever. You may have done whatever, the just terrible thing. Yet Jesus will wash your sin away.
Amen.
And not only will he do that, never to be remembered against you anymore, he will expunge your record, which means you never did it.
Mm-hmm.
So though you don't have anybody coming back saying, you know what you did 50 years ago or 40 years ago? It don't exist. And now, if that's not a living miracle, I don't know what it is. You know, if I only preach the salvation message, and of course I preach on faith a lot and everything else, it's the greatest miracle message ever.
Excellent.
And it's still changing people, just like it changed that jailer under Paul and Silas's testimony.
That's right. You know, later, some people have said that the jailer later became the pastor of the church there in Philippi.
Well,
I don't know if that's true or not, but
it sure sounds good.
History says, because God changed his life. Now, there was so many times, and there was one time where God broke someone out of jail and they left and they went, remember Peter?
Yeah.
But this one, they didn't leave. They stayed there. The jailer came and said, if you read the rest of the story, it talks about how he came and said, oh, they released you and let you go. No. He says, they put us in prison. They're going to hear what we have to say.
And they beat us.
We're not just going to go away quietly. They went ahead and gave their message to the government.
Always be strong in your belief about Christ, no matter what anybody says. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. If God be for you, who could be against you?
You know, Jesse, I believe that people will maybe be watching for the first time, and we've heard about talking about believe on Jesus Christ. Maybe they're not born again. Let's just pray for them to be born again.
I'd like you to pray this very simple prayer.
Yes.
But I want you not pray it from an intellectual mind, but from your heart, the real you.
Yes.
Here. So just repeat this after me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I ask you. To come into my life. I ask you to forgive me. Of all my sins.
I repent. This very day. I believe on you.
On the Lord Jesus Christ.
Come into my life.
I believe you rose from the dead. As I say it right now.
Write my name.
In the Lamb's Book of Life.
And today.
Is my God day.
With the Lord Jesus Christ.
If you prayed that very simple prayer, welcome to the family.
Yes, welcome.
What a blessing of God it is to have a new person born again. It's like a new baby. I can say it like this. You know, when you get born again, you become a new baby. I think Jesus just scooped you up and walked with his father said, what you think? What you think of this, baby? And then his father says, my Lord, he looked just like you, Jesus. That's what it means to be born again.
So beautiful.
Thank you once again, partners.
Yes.
Thank you for all you do, doing, and going to do.
And be sure and share this with someone. Amen. Maybe someone that doesn't know the Lord.
They'll hear
the gospel message in a different way. And we trust God that their lives will be changed forever like it's changed ours.
That's right. It's the most important thing you will ever do.
Right.
So until next time, Jesse and Kathy saying, we love you. And my God, go get somebody saved today too, because you just got born again. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.